Okay. So what did we have? We had a mess at the end of the year. We weren't clear, but we were positioning ourselves. So let's remind ourselves where we were. We had a case. A Reuven bought a sunken ship for $600,000, and he brought in a partner who invested $100,000, but the idea of this partner was he was going to be the one who recovers all the scrap metal, blow it up, the ship underneath, scrap metal, make millions. They sent out an expedition. They discovered that it's impossible where it's positioned to achieve that aim. Therefore, it was nearly a total loss, and they managed to sell it at a loss of 100,000. They sold it for 100,000, so they made a loss of 500,000. And the claim was, we're joint partners in profits, so we should be joint partners in losses, and therefore we should equalize the loss, and you should pay out of your bank account an extra $250,000 to equalize. And that we bought the Rambam, the first Shulchan Aruch, Sadi Gimel, Yitzhak Yud Gimel, the first one which says, seems to support such a view. I read it inside. Ton Reuven, Reuven claims, Shenifchas had carried, that we made a loss. And it took afternoon, we had 600, we lost 500. Edomim, we do not allow him, Sheyishva Reuven, Shvur Sashufim, to prove that point by making a Shvur, Shepisokah, because we don't know if it happens, but he wants to make a Shvur to say, believe me, we lost 500. We do not allow him to make such a Shvur to prove that point. Vishayim Shemir Beisim. And then by the power of the Shvur, to Machayev Shimon to pay from his house, Chamishim, of $50 to equalize the loss. Implication of that Rambam, which is brought in Shulchan Aruch, is that we haven't got enough proof that there was a loss to equalize. But if we have absolute proof, or there's no machlokas about their loss, then of course you have to equalize, even though you're different investments. But since you're sharing profits, you also have to share losses, and you have to share losses to such extent you have to take it out of your private bank account to equalize the loss if there is a loss. So that implies, yeah. So you would have to pay $250,000 to take out to equalize the loss from this sunken ship. This Rambam, which we said.
How much did Reuven put in? How much did Shimon put in? $250,000.
What?
How much did Reuven put in initially? Yeah. Shimon put in initially.
Reuven put in. End of the day, he got 400 loss because he put in 500. He got 100 back, so he's put in, so to speak, 400. The other guys just put in 100. Yeah, so to equalize would be another 250. Yeah. No, another 150, sorry. Yeah. Okay, so the implication is that, yes, if everyone agrees to the facts, which in our case it does, everyone agrees to the fact, and there's a loss, everyone agrees to there's a loss, and everyone agrees to equalize the loss, you would have to take money out, then the halakha is, yeah, take money out, and your private bank will have to equalize. That is Shulchan Aruch in Sadi Gimel. Then we have the other case of we introduced. That someone brought in a partner in selling precious stones that he paid from his own pocket $500,000, so he put $500,000 to get precious stones. He brought in Shimon as a partner, equal profits, even though Shimon's not going to give any money because he knows the know-how and he's the main guy in trying to actually sell the thing. And they went together to Picture Maker and they had a good time out at night, but then the night didn't turn out so good because when they came back, everything was stolen and they made a total loss. Because the insurance didn't cover it because they were so negligent in looking after it in the first place. So now the claim is, okay, total loss, we're equal in partners, in profits, equalize, as we just proved to the Rambam, equalize, take out of your bank account, no machlokas, don't have to prove anything, because everyone agrees what happened, take out of your bank account here, it's 250. Yeah, so that's what it should be. But then, we had a problem, there is a Ramah, which the Shulchan Aruch himself also brings, in combined book. And it just seems to say that we don't do that because he says, as we read inside, in the shtap v'zeh mon v'zeh time, they put different money, $100 to $200. Listen, of course, everything's lost. Lo minum, we do not say shishalim bal hamon la bal matayim chamishim. The basic. We do not say that the guy who put in less has to equalize the loss from his own pockets. We don't equalize the loss from his own pockets. We only equalize the loss in the that the money is still around inside them, in the side of business. But if there's equalized loss only outside his business, for the private bank, we don't do. So, therefore, we have arguments whether you equalize loss of the partnership, yes, you need to equalize loss, but you do that to such extent that you need to take out the private bank account, but locus. But the problem is, the shulchan aruch passes like this. So we had this deal. So, now, do you remember the two options that we gave to answering this conflict? We got a shulchan aruch on one place that says you equalize the loss even to take out from your private bank accounts. And we got a shulchan aruch, the same shulchan aruch says later on, you do not equalize the loss to take out the private accounts. Inside the profit, the epitaph in the private bank account. Same shulchan aruch. How did we answer it in two fashions, the conflict we're in the shulchan aruch? Do you remember from last week how we did that?
I remember one.
So you can say one,
The one I think I remember is that they split up until their investments, the amounts they put in, but you can't lose more than the amount you have.
That was one opinion. That's not the answer. Because one opinion says you actually take it out of his private bank account to equalize the loss, even more than he actually invested. And everyone says you only equalize loss in the investment, not take out the bank. That's the whole theory. So what's the answer to answer up this conflict that we said two options?
Well, I remember the Taz says it was lost after. The Rambam where he says you don't split it with by Shua, so we just bring you in.
So the easy one, the easy one to remember is the Taz's answer. It says, yeah, really the Paskins like what he says in Hilchos Shufim, which he says that you equalize loss, but not to take from the bank of private. Equalizes other is there's enough money still in, then you equalize. But to take out, that was never an investment. To equalize, we don't do that. That's his rule. There's implication in Sadi Gimel that if you can prove it, you actually take out from his bank of private. No, that is only. Really, he doesn't hold to that. He's only bringing that Rambam to tell you one halacha in Hilchos Shavuos, even though he doesn't want you to medayek any halacha besides this halacha. The halacha he wants to prove is that the power of making a shur and proof of a shur is not so strong to be able to force somebody because of a shur to pay from his pocket. Shur can only defend you from giving money out. Shur is a mechanism which has powerful enough to prove a point and actually draw money out. Now, that's all he's bringing this Rambam for, but he doesn't want you to learn from it, and if it's actually, everyone agrees, then you actually have to pay for it back. That's not what he's interested in. He says, that is not why I bring this Rambam. This Rambam that implication of Rambam is maybe the Rambam holds that. I actually don't hold to that. I hold you do not actually take from your private bank and take us, because you don't. Yeah, I hold like the Ramah later on. I just bring this Rambam for one point, that the power of Shur is not a powerful enough to cause the pain, but not to make any implications what will be the sin. Yeah, to make such a point. Now, that was the easy answer. But really, the halacha is you never equalize from your bank account. You equalize within the investments, not from your bank account. Now, what was the harder answer, which was the Shach and the Bach's answer? It's not even on the page over here. You're supposed to remember from last week. Yeah, no, it's not even there. It's not on the fifth. I like doing this ever so often to test who's really listening to me. Or am I just speaking to myself?
It's been a whole week since last time.
Yeah, that is true. Okay. So, what was the other answer? The other answer was that sometimes we equalize loss from even your private bank account. But sometimes we only equalize the loss from the monies in the business, but not from your private business. It depends. What does it depend on? What type of loss it was. If it was a loss from a natural cause of the business, that's the natural risk of this business. This is what this business tends to be liable to happen inside such a business. And it actually happens at the end. Then Enoch and Ami, that loss, you do have to equalize even take out the bank. Yeah, and the logic posits. Logic posits because I went into the partnership into a business which I know that he's going to give me 50% profits, and therefore I have to take on myself also 50% losses. And I know that the nature of this business, it could lead to such a scenario, which of course if it does, would mean I have to take from my private account if it actually happens. And I still entered in it. So of course, if it happens, I have to pay for my bank account, because I expected it when I made the agreement, that was my obligation. But if the loss was not a natural cause or natural events of the whole business structure, that's not what was expected to happen or anticipated to be a natural risk to happen in such a business, then I never accepted that when I came to partnership. That was my liability, because I didn't expect it to happen under those circumstances. So if I never accepted liability, if it does happen, I do not need to equalize for my private bank account. Only for what I actually put into the business, that's what I'm risking, not for my private account. Because I didn't make the agreement originally with such a commitment, because the commitment was not expected to happen under these circumstances. So therefore, go back to our two cases. Yes? The case of buying a sunken ship, whether I did to blow it up and recover as much as you can to make millions. Yes? Is it a natural risk of that business that things won't go to plan and you won't be able to recover as much as you wanted?
Yes.
Yeah. So therefore, under those conditions, would you have to pay from your bank account to equalize the loss if it doesn't actually happen?
According to the second answer, yes.
According to the second answer, that sometimes yes, and this is the sometimes yes because it was a natural risk of the business, then yes you will. But according to the first answer,
no,
because you never paid from your bank account. Now, the other case, where it was stolen from your the hotel room when you're having a good time in Jamaica, was that a natural risk, anticipation of the business that you're going into to expect to happen?
Yes.
No, so there's not.
So yeah. Everyone would agree.
So everyone would agree under that circumstance. That case, for sure, there's nothing to discuss. You do not pay from your private bank account. The only case which is up to grabs, so to speak, as we left it last week, was the case of the sunken ship. Mark Lucas. Now, can we make any inference? And now this is a new question this week. Can you make any inference from the way that both the Shulchan Aruch speaks together, which teretz seems to be the more accurate one in the explanation to answer the theorem? You've got two Shulchan Aruch steering each other, two possible ways to rectify that theorem. Is there any implication in the language used in the Shulchan Aruch to imply which teretz fits naturally more one with the other? And if so, then maybe you've got to arrive that that's the real halacha.
Maybe it's in the second Shulchan Aruch, it says Losh of the Nifsad HaKol.
Okay.
That's not a likely situation of doing business. You know, things go down in value, you know, but Nifsad HaKol is less prevalent and not part of a realistic expectation as to what would normally happen in a business case. And if you can mediate that, then you could say that he's really leaning towards the case of the Shas case.
Okay, so you want a word for the word Nifsad HaKol? The word nisakol has implications in it that's like the shatter, that since it wasn't likely, you don't need to pay from your bank account from the word nisakol, because that's not like to lift nisakol. Okay, a good attempt.
When you take the two Shulchan Aruchs, the second one is much clearer. The first one is very foggy.
Okay.
The second one says clearly what it's talking about. The first one.
So therefore, what's the implication then?
Expectation with when it's talking about what's actually happening, the second one is more.
So therefore, you want to say the more accurate teretz will be the first teretz, that you always never have to pay from the bank account, because that's a clearer spoken out in the Shulchan Aruch, whereas the first one is just from diyukim. Okay, so let's see what the bus says. Number two, Nira. I'm going to tell you that my pishat is correct, which is the same as the shah, because the diet, I can diet this from the words of the Shulchan Aruch itself. It says, in the first law of Shulchan Aruch, it says, Tisru Hosir, you went down or you went up, which mashma That the loss, or the any profit over there, which you have to split, even from your bank account, is coming about through the natural business that that you're involved in. And the Loshon Amar, but the second Shulchan Aruch, which is the Loshon Amar, Kuf Ayin Vav, it says the Loshon Vishnu Nakom, which makes an implication. Zavor Laharis, which implies the Dafka Vichyai Gafna, that only in this scenario, the Nisan Akol, that you make a total loss, the Lobar Hesed Nakom Masan Hashem, that implies that it didn't come about through the natural risk of the business. Natural risk of the business not to get a total loss, the loss nisal akol in one shot. Yeah, that's not a natural risk that you go into a business for. So therefore, that implies that if it's an unexpected loss, then you don't have to pay for your bank account. So therefore, the Lashon Shulchan Aruch supports the chilik of the Shulchan Aruch, that it depends why it was lost, by a natural risk or something that was unexpected. Nisan HaKol is implication that was unexpected, not how you translated the words.
Similar.
That's why I said it was a very good attempt. But Nisan HaKol, he says, to be a total loss in one shot. That's what it means. Overnight. Disappeared. Overnight. Which the Ramah actually says his example was, it was a gadeva. That's how it can happen overnight. That since it wasn't a natural risk of the actual business structure, so therefore then you don't have to pay for the bank. But if it was, then they're not going to know you would pay for the bank and that was the first one. That's the back of the imply that I'm correct. Now, the defense of the Taz, who says, no, we always pass and you don't take out to your bank account, how did he go to defend it? Exactly how Eric explains. The Taz says, you're not going to read it inside. So the Taz says, pretty low. Eric says, look, I tell you, swear, says the Taz. The halacha is written in Hilchos Shukrin. Where is it written in Hilchos Shukrin? This is a shayla of Hilchos partnerships. Where is partnerships written in Shulchan Aruch? Not in Sadi Gimel. Where all the halachas of partnerships written is written in Kav Ayin Vav. And Kav Ayin Vav, which is the second one, it says clearly exactly what the case is and results. Can't avoid it. It says you lose and everyone agrees to it and you don't pay on your bank account. That's it. The other Shulchan Aruch is in Hilchos Shavuos, nothing to do with partnership, it's in the middle of Hilchos Shavuos and the power of Shavuos, and the Shulchan brings it up, and the only way to say it doesn't fit with the later one is it's not from the actual words it says, it's from a diet from it said. So of course that's not what the Shulchan is coming to. Would say a halach in the Hilchot partnership, not in the halach as a partnership, somewhere else, and in a fashion where it's not clear, it's just a diet, he wouldn't say that. So therefore, it's implied from the way it's structured and how it's written, that the real halach is only one thing. You never pay for your bank account. So each, the Taz and the Shach and Bach, have reasons why they can fit their Peshat into the Shulchan Aruch, and each one says either positioning or Lashonis support them. Okay, so therefore, what's the bottom line? The Piskei Tshuva says, and brings the Chasam Sofer, and says, it's a big machlokas, and both Peshat fit, so both of them I have to accept, so therefore, you both accept both of the Peshat and our possibilities in the Artsy Shulchan, what's going to be the answer? Hamotzi, Rechaveh, Ovalavah. So if I'm basically going to write, in both our cases, do you pay for your bank accounts? Who's holding the money? Yeah. No, you don't, because I'm holding the money in my bank account. I don't pay, because I'm basically going to write. I never pay for my bank account. Okay. That's the end of the first case.
Just which case?
That's the end of these
both cases. Both.
Yeah, that's not the final answer, but that's the end.
Is that the final answer?
Not final answer. Okay. Now. That's the final conclusion I want to say over here. Now, let's move on to a new case. Obviously, we'll get back and get final answers on the other side. Reuven has a brand. A successful and popular brand. And Shimon and Reuven get together and they propose a business. What's the business? Shimon says, I want to take smart shirts, yeah, what's up? And I want to put your brand on it. Right. You give me your brand, and give me 100,000, 200,000 shekels, whatever, to buy the items and put the brand on, invest the money, and I'll do all the work. You sit back, you just be giving the man money and the brand, I'll do all the work. I won't put any money myself in, of course. And we'll split the profits. We'll split the profits. Yeah, okay.
We're selling.
Of course, the brand name's got nothing to do with the shirts. The brand name is on sportswear. And he wants to go into a new field called high-class shirts and put the brand name there and hopefully be popular because of the brand name. All good ideas don't necessarily end up being good business deals. And in the end, they managed to sell the shirts at a loss. And they lost overall 100,000 shekels. Okay? So Reuven comes, the owner of the brand, and says to Shimon, we were sharing profits, we have to share losses. Give me 50,000 shekels. We made a loss of 100,000, which is my money. Loss of 100,000 shekels, loss. Share the profits, give 50,000 out of your bank account to share. So what did we say up to now, in conclusion?
You don't have to pay.
That even if a natural cause of the risk of the business, you're still at the end of the day, you don't have to pay because of this market. Okay? But there's something different about this that makes it a more of a shock.
Is Shimon initiated?
No. It was a joint initiation. A shiddur.
How did
you
get the partnership again?
How did you get? What was the partnership?
Yeah.
The partnership deal was,
different.
You give me the brand name, yeah. You give me the money, I'll do all the work, and we'll split the profits.
It's a powerful
thing, no? It's like working. Yeah.
No, the difference is, in the other cases, one partner wasn't giving the other partner anything. One partner was putting money to buy a ship or something, the other partner was putting money into it. That was their cost. Here he was taking money, one was taking money from the other. He was taking his money, give it to me and I'll do something with it. And I'll make you a lot of money. But he did make money.
Okay, that's a physical difference. Will it make a difference in the outcome of our shayla? Let's put this on the other. Let me see. Rav Akiva Eger. Rav Akiva Eger over there in the same Shulchan Aruch says the following interesting halacha. Let's read it inside. Number 3. Ayin Shuvas Pnei Yeshua. Says Rav Akiva Eger. Very important to look at Pnei Yeshua. And says, Davka Pichai Gavda Tshishneim Shnitin Adakis. Only when both of them invest the money into partnership, and using that money, and they make a loss, then you don't need to equalize from your bank accounts. Aber echad nosen mos. Va'beis lo nosen. But one partner gives money. And the second one doesn't give money. Havi kahavala chavera. We interpret such an agreement as being a loan. And since it's a loan, if there's a loss, what do you have to do with a loan? You have to pay it back. So if there's a total loss, what are you going to have to do? Pay back half the money which was you lent you. If we're sharing profits in such a fashion where you put in all the money and I don't, then we interpret such an agreement as not that we're 50-50 because I'm just 50-50. No, we look at it 50-50 is that half the money you put in was actually a loan to me. And we put both in money, just half of it was yours and half is mine, even though I didn't think it's just a loan. And if there's going to be a loan, there's going to be a payday. When's that payday? When there's no money coming back. We know how much the loan was. How much the loan was, if it's total loss, half the money was put in. So then you have to pay half back, even for your bank accounts. We only say, if you both put in money in, that we look at it as not a loan. We look at it as that's how you structured the partnership. Then you don't need to pay for the bank accounts. But if you put no money in, no money, then we look at it as a loan. And therefore, there's a payday for the loan.
Maybe Rabbi Akiva wouldn't say Eger, or wouldn't say this.
So let's just Osphere before we see what it means. Let's just explain that. So he's saying, whenever you build a partnership in a fashion where one puts money in and one doesn't put money in, the leisure in its pure form is saying, based on the, is saying that we interpret this as you are giving half of that money to loan. And of course, now we only know how much the money has to give back for the shows loss. You have to pay that half the money because you have to pay it. Only when you put in money, both of you, even though it's different money, do we not interpret loans. So therefore, going back to our three cases, out of those three cases, which cases did he put in no money?
Two of the three cases
didn't have money. Which cases didn't have
the
money?
The precious stones
and this brand name. So both those cases, if we go with the pleasure of Kiva Eger, we would say if there's a total loss, what would be the halacha?
Split it.
You have to split it. Not because you're half in profits and half in losses. Because you are low and out of payment. So it comes out, according to this, that in the case of the boats, if we put in money, there's a machlokas, whether you have to pay for the bank accounts, then you don't pay for the bank accounts. In the case of the diamonds, the precious stones, where you made the total loss, but you never put in any money, and the brand name where you made the loss, and also you didn't put in money, and since over there there's no machlokas, because over there it's got nothing to do with machlokas. There the structure is not that we're partners in different fashion, there it's just a pure loan, but now there's a payday. And everyone agree, Shach, Taz, Bach, whoever you want to say, here you do pay for your bank account, because a loan of course you pay for your bank account. So it comes out now the opposite what we were saying. We start off with saying the case of the total loss in Jamaica. Everyone agrees you don't pay for the bank accounts. And the boats, there's something to talk about. Now we're coming out. Boats, something to talk about. But in the case of the loss of Jamaica, ain't not a loan. You have to pay 250,000 because there was interpreted as a loan, according to everybody. Opposite to what we were saying.
It suggests the Pnei Yeshua may only say this, could be, in a case where there's equal sweat equity or no sweat equity, but in a case where the partner giving zero is the one doing all the work, then that's a different story. That's, you don't have to look at a loan anymore. Now he
why
he's investing. He's investing his labor. That's investing.
You say something very, very clever.
So certainly in the shirts case, that he's putting in sweat equity.
The
diamond case, maybe you could argue back and forth how much work did he really do yet, because he hasn't done anything yet when they took the loss.
On the other hand, there's another difference between those two cases. In the case of the shirt, the guy virtually says, give me a loan. Give me money, and I'll do this business for you. In the other case, it's the other way around. The guy with the money says, I don't want you to put in any money, I want you to put in your expertise. I'm going to put in the money.
So we're arguing on how the two cases were split.
Okay. It's very good. You're thing, excellent implications. Let's read the Mashan, which will come to your conclusion, and then we'll try and apply it to our cases. The Mahasham says, very nice player, sure. Understand it. No money means loan. Of course you pay. But it's too broad. We have to limit it. How do we limit it? If you look at number four. Nearly. Akol lefi ros eina hadayim. It depends on how the Zionim look at it. The Omer Dadas, they have to work it out on the particular case. The Imashut of Abbas, I'll give you an example, says Imasham. If the second partner is not investing money, who only, he's a poor person who could never invest money, he could never pay anything. He's an only by definition, he has no assets at all. Vadai, if you bring such a partner in, for sure, the concept is, you've got to be 50% of profits. I never expect you, in your position, to be having to pay losses from your bank account in the interpretation of a loan. How can I give a loan to somebody who has no ability to pay? So obviously, I set up the partnership under such a fashion that even though you're not giving any money, but I don't look at it, I'm giving you a loan because there's no expectation that you'll pay. So obviously, I didn't give it as a loan. I just expected I wanted you in the partnership where you can get 50% profits without having to pay from your own bank account under the concept of loan. So therefore, it depends on the actual scenario you're talking about, whether it's possible to actually definitely define what you're doing over here is a loan, since you didn't put any money. So we have to look at each case, whether there's implication, absolute implication as a loan or not, in order to make him actually pay for the bank account as a loan concept does. Because some setups of businesses will not be interpreted as, oh, this is a loan. Okay. So, what the fact is that we can use in our two cases that can suggest whether it's a loan or not a loan? What's a natural factor of every business that we can suggest whether it's a loan or not a loan?
How car lasts it, or how likely are you going to make money? If you know it's a far chance to make money, then you're not entering it to lose money. You're trying, but you don't want to hide your personal assets.
Okay, that's so he's saying like what? Look, that's like he gave an example of the Oni, where I never expect him to pay back, so how can I say I'm giving him a loan?
Or the sweat equity example that I gave before. I think clearly I'm bringing him not for his money, I'm bringing him for his work, for his expertise.
Who said what to who?
Okay, so let's go in the sweat ethics. The definition here starts off, other face starts off. It's a loan because, you know, I'm giving all the money. What are you doing? You're getting half profits and I'm giving all the money? What are you doing? You know what it is? You're also giving money. Equally to me. How can I give you half the money? Because why are you here otherwise? Why are you getting half the profits? It must be a loan. That's the whole concept of pleasure. So now, if I set up a business that says, I've got something, I've got no idea how to make money. I haven't got the capability or know how to do it. I need you. You have the ability, which I have no idea of how to turn this into more. Okay. So, I'm taking you in, I'm giving you half the profits. Why am I giving you half the profits? Because you actually gave half the money, or I'm giving you half the profits because you're adding something to the partnership, not money, which is intrinsic to the making of money. What is it?
Secondary.
I need your expertise. If you need your expertise, then the reason you get half partnership is not because you put money in. You put no money in. You're still getting half the profits because of your expertise. Because expertise is in placement of getting half the profits. So then, the whole money I'm giving is not a loan. The reason why you're getting it is not because of a loan. Getting it because of your expertise. That I can't pin on you that now that we made the total loss, I lent you money, you have to pay me back. So therefore, we revert back to the Jamaican case. Jamaican case, why did I call you in to the partnership? Expertise. So therefore, even though I'm laying out no more money, I'm still giving you half the profits, not because I'm looking at half the money is yours because of a loan. I'm looking at it, you're getting half the profits because of your expertise, so then it's a total loss. I can't say, well, yeah, you owe me money because I lent you. Let me money. You owe me money because partners who share in profits have to share. No, no one has to share in losses if it's unexpected losses. So therefore, we revert back as a conclusion in this case. We're not getting away as a conclusion in this case that in the Jamaican case, Enoch and Lamy, you do not need to pay from your pockets. No reason to pay. Don't not assume the halachas with sharing profits and share losses, because here there's no reason to share losses according to everyone. And not because of a loan, because it's not because of a loan, because I brought you in to give half profits. Not because of a loan, because of the expertise. Now, what's more difficult to work out is this case of the brand name. I bring you in and they said, here's my brand, here's money, make money. And you're going to get half the profits. Over there. How do we look at it there? How would you look at it over there?
It's very much like a loan. To give me money.
On the one hand.
So I can open up a business. And because you're laying out the money, I'll give you half the profit.
On the one hand, the words imply that, like I would say, is a loan. And I want a chelik of that money. Okay, so therefore, it's a partner. That's the words, it actually was. On the other hand, we still have the nosa, or the concept is, who's making the money over here? Who's making the money?
Both.
Are both active in the actual selling of the IT products.
Neither of them making money.
Yeah, who was the positioning of the guy, of each person? One was what we call a silent partner, and one was an active partner. One was actually involved with the shirts, developing them, marketing them, trying to sell them. Yeah, the other guy wasn't involved in that before. So therefore you could suggest the reason why I'm giving 50% of profits is not because of a loan, it's because of
his work.
Because his work, like we similarly said by the Jamaican scenario. Because one's working and one's not working. And he needs him to work. Yeah?
But who asked for money here? Who asked for money?
The team was spoken out in a fashion. So let's get together, yeah, they've got an idea, let's figure out the deal. Yeah, I like the idea, okay, fine, that's how they did it.
So you have to say, in that case, what's a realistic situation where it would be considered? If you say this isn't a loan, then what's a realistic situation where it would be considered? This isn't a loan.
When both guys are going to work equally. You have two partners, I can't do it myself. We need two guys to help carry the load. I'm the one putting the money, let's both do the work. So in that kind of case, that would be a case where we look at it as a loan.
Okay.
So you're saying a sleepy partner, an investor.
Okay. So, the only way to look at it over here, to work it out, is how actually the company was structured. How is it officially registered and in what fashion it was done? If it was a company was formed under both their names and money was put into a joint bank account under their names, then by definition, what you just gave. Is it definitely a loan? Because I'm a half the owner thing and the money went in before even started to the situation. It's definitely defined as a loan. In that fashion. And then you would have to say this. If it wasn't defined in that fashion, by just a worker outside that situation, then we haven't got enough proof that it's absolute loan, and when we don't have enough proof that it's absolute loan situation, then of course we can't look five of you without actually proof. And again, we would say you're released from paying from your private bank account. So that depends whether you have that fact or not, will define whether it's a loan or not. Okay. Well, we'll leave it here this week. Mr. Shemi, have a good Shabbos. And
so what's resolved? Just the case of the...
So we resolved all three cases. At the moment, we resolved definitely for two cases. We resolved the case of the ship. That is a machlokas. Therefore, since it's a machlokas, you can't force him to pay. And we resolved the case of the Jamaican diamonds.
Not even a machlokas.
There's no machlokas over there, and there's no suggestion it's a loan. So therefore, for sure you don't pay. There's no machlokas. Even if you took it, you have to give back the money. You can't keep the money, obviously. And we're left now with this last case of the brand name. At this moment of time, we're saying brand name. It depends how you structured it, whether it's considered a loan, whether the money was put into a joint bank account, of course it's a loan. That's how you structured it. If it's not, it's very hard to actually pinpoint that it may be a loan, maybe it's not a loan, and therefore we wouldn't be able to force money under those circumstances. Next week we'll develop further with another case, and maybe it'll pour more light and more factors on this case which we just...
But the first two cases are...
Yes.
Done.
Except it was an inside job.
As always.
It was an inside job. He knew that. He knew he wouldn't be charged because he knew that a lot. Go ahead.